Hello, welcome to Flour, Butter, Eggs, Sugar. My name's Kate. I'm the host of this podcast, which is all about home baking. And today's episode, which I'm really excited about, is all about mince pies. I'm going to be talking to my auntie Christine, who is one of the best mince pie makers ever, about how she makes mince pies and her two favourite recipes. And I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about what I've been up to this week, and a little bit of the history of mince pies as well. So let's get started. So it's been a bit of a cold, rainy week in England, or at least it is right now. And the days are getting noticeably short. But that does have some benefits. It's meant that I've seen some really beautiful sunsets at the end of my work day, actually. So that's been quite nice. And yeah, I've been very, very busy, quite a lot of deadlines and things this week at work. So I've been looking forward to the weekend to get a lot of baking done. And baking I have been doing. So I got up early, actually. I think I might be sort of slowly turning into my mother in this regard. But I got up early and I made some soda bread. I started off some cranberry and orange enriched yeasted buns, and basically I just am using the Yorkshire tea cakes recipe from a few episodes that's from regular Issa Wine, and I just replaced the currants with dried cranberries and just added the zest of an orange. So hopefully that'll be good. I think it would have been even better if I'd put some spices in it, but it's too late now really. So what I might try doing is making like a cinnamon butter. I might try whipping a bit of cream, or maybe even just mixing it into some already made butter, and just adding a little bit of sugar and cinnamon, and then using that to spread on the buns. So I'm going to try that out and see how that goes as well. And then the other thing that I'm going to be making this weekend, other than mince pies, obviously, is granola. So I make this every couple of weeks, every 2 to 3 weeks. My partner likes having granola for breakfast. She's not really a sort of breakfast when you first get up kind of person. So she takes it to work with her in a little cute jam jar with some yogurt. So she was buying it, but I found out how easy it was to make granola kind of during lockdown, I think, during the first lockdown in sort of March of this year. And I haven't really stopped since, because it's just a lot cheaper as well to make my own than it is to buy a high quality one. So it's just basically, I do 300 grams of oats, 100 grams of some kind of syrup. I have tried it with sugar, but it doesn't work as well. You want something that's like liquid and sticky, but it would work with maple syrup, golden syrup. You could maybe do a little bit of a mixture of sugar and syrup, but I do think syrup is necessary. You could try a little bit of treacle, but you might want to be wary of it because it might be a bit too strong if you use too much like black treacle or something. Yeah, I tend to just use golden syrup. Cheap, delicious, why not? And so to that, you have the 300 grams of oats, 100 grams of syrup, and then 50 grams of vegetable oil. That's my base. And then I'll just add in nuts, I'll add in fruit, I'll add in whatever, really. And my oven doesn't really burn nuts very well, very much. So I'm kind of fine on that front. But yeah, you'd need to be a bit careful if you've got an oven that cooks things more from the top. So yeah, that's the other thing I've been making. And then obviously I've been making a lot of mince pies because of the episode, but also because it's the start of December and I absolutely love mince pies. So it's always the start of Christmas for me is when I start eating mince pies, or the start of Advent anyway. And it's just, yeah, they're just genuinely one of my favorite foods on the planet. So I can't wait to tell you about our favorite recipes, the favorite recipes of my auntie Christine and me. And I'm going to start though by talking a little bit about the history of mince pies, and there's a few surprises in there, so listen in. Okay, so in this section, I'm going to be talking about the history of mince pies. And the first thing to say is that they are a really old bake. So as far as we know, they sort of start in the middle of the Middle Ages. And they are a medieval status symbol. So the spices, the alcohol, and the fruit, the fat, all of these things kind of make them expensive. So if you are able to make mince pies or get mince pies, then you're really kind of somebody. Mince is short for mincemeat or minced meat, and they did for a really long time contain meat. So from the start of mince pies right until the sort of 19th century, mince pies contain meat. And it's only really in the last century, in the 20th century, that we just made them with fruit and spices and alcohol. The most common meats used were beef, veal, ox tongue, and mutton, in sort of various different combinations. And the first English language cookbook, which is called The Form of Curry from 1390, has various similar kind of spiced, sweetened pies, including some with fish instead of meat, which sounds rather unusual. I'm not sure that my sort of modern palate would cope with that. In 1615, Gervase Markham's book, The English Housewife, describes making a minced pie with various spices and a leg of mutton. The other thing is that mince pies were a kind of any time of year celebration bake until about the 19th century. So our associations of mince pies as being a Christmassy bake and something that's got fruit and spices but not meat, these are both really, really recent kind of iterations of the mince pie. The most common kind of fruits that you find in mince pies are currants, candied peel, sometimes prunes, dates, or figs. And then the most common spices are cinnamon, cloves, mace, nutmeg, sometimes ginger, and you also usually get some kind of grated apple or pear. So that's a very short history of mince pies. For more on this and for more on all sorts of different types of British baking, I would really check out Regular Isewine. So a lot of there's a lot of fantastic food history in her books, particularly the book that I bought recently, which is called Oats and North, Wheats and Wheat from the South, which is a kind of history of British baking with loads and loads of recipes. So really, if I haven't already raved quite enough about that book, there's another plug for it because it is really fantastic and a really good present for any friends or family that love British baking. Okay, so I'm going to be moving on now to talk a little bit about the two recipes that we've recommended. But first, before that, actually, before that, we're going to hear from my Auntie Christine. Enjoy. Right, so hopefully this is going to work this time. It
Okay.
seems to be so far. And so what happened, listeners, is that I rang my Auntie Christine to talk to her about mince pies. We had a long conversation of about 25 minutes and none of it recorded because I couldn't work out how to use my phone correctly. So it was all ideal, really. So thanks for talking to me again.
I don't mind at all.
And the reason why I wanted to talk to Auntie Chris is because she makes the best mince pies, really delicious mince pies.
You're so kind. You're so kind.
No, it's just true. So I had to get you on to talk about them, and you were kind enough to agree. So the first thing we were going to talk about is why we think they're so good.
I just think the lovely, lovely sweet and spicy fruit mixture inside a lovely, crumbly, buttery pastry is delicious. And what's not to like, really? And, it reminds you as soon as you eat it, you realize Christmas is really underway. And it's the staple of the Christmas table. And it's delicious, warm, with a dollop of cream or whatever you like, rum butter, brandy butter. But I think it's just the sweet and spicy mixture inside the sort of buttery pastry that's so delicious. And of course, homemade.
Yeah, that's something else that we were talking about is that a homemade ones are basically a completely different thing, aren't they? And just so much
They are.
better.
Yeah, I think bought, I don't know, I just can't find a nice bought one. They all seem so claggy and soggy and too sweet and the pastry is too thick and sometimes the mince tastes of vinegar or something. So I just don't like them. I'm a real snob about homemade mince pies, I'm afraid.
No, I am too. And the one, but something that you can do is freeze them
Yes.
and then defrost them, and then kind of put them in the oven and warm
Absolutely.
them
Yeah,
up
they're
again.
just as good if you free, you know, if you make 36 and you don't want to eat 36 that day, you can, freeze them and bring them out and leave them to unfreeze and then pop them in the oven and they're just as delicious, I think.
A couple of years ago, I think I made my partner quite cross actually, because I was still in the kitchen at about 11:30 at night, and she said, "How many mince pies have you made now?" And I said, 72. And it wasn't even really for any specific reason. I wasn't taking them to an event. I've made two different recipes, and they just made such vast quantities that,
I know that in my big choir that I'm in, the Sloane Square Choral Society, we have a Christmas concert, and not this year, obviously, but we all, and it always says, will the ladies bring mince pies, which always annoys me intensely. But I'm the only one that ever takes homemade mince pies to that concert for the interval. It's just so amazing. Everybody goes for the homemade mince pies and they're just mine. But
Yeah, well,
I
you
make
would.
about 72 and everyone just brings bought ones.
Yeah,
Incredible.
I think, and again, in previous years, I've donated them sometimes to like raffles and things like that. Although, as a good Methodist, you're not meant to do raffles, obviously, so I'm joking.
I like raffles.
If you aren't aware, by the way, Methodism is a sort of Christian denomination where traditionally you don't really drink or gamble. But I think
A real fun religion,
raffles is
isn't
a
it,
bit,
Kate?
yeah, raffles is a little bit extreme. I don't think that's a real thing.
No, it used to be. It used to be a long time ago. I don't think it is now.
No. So
Anyway.
the other thing that we were talking about is whether you use lard in your pastry, and you do actually use some lard, don't you?
Yes, just in one recipe, which is my orange pastry recipe, I use 500, 400 grams of flour is it, and then 200 grams of butter with 100 grams of lard, and that makes it really crumbly. I mean, obviously, if you're vegan or vegetarian, presumably you don't use lard.
No. Well, I just use more butter, but you could use some sort of vegetable shortening, I guess.
Yeah, you could.
I don't think it would be quite as good, but
No, but
it's.
that's good. The lard and the butter and the flour and then the orange zest and mixing it all with just the orange juice is delicious. So, and quite often a bit of cinnamon in there as well.
It sounds good because the lard doesn't really taste quite as good as butter to me, at least.
No.
But then, so you've got the kind of texture and but then also the buttery flavour. So it sounds like a
Yeah.
good
Yeah.
kind of.
I think that's the only one I use lard in actually, but I do make those a lot. So yes,
And I
I
like
do
the
use
idea as well of putting cinnamon in the pastry. I'm going to try that this year.
Yes, yeah.
How much would
That's
you
very nice.
use? Just a couple of teaspoons or.
Yes.
Yeah.
For a pound of not a pound, sorry, I keep going into old measurements.
That's all right.
400 grams of flour, I'd probably use a couple of teaspoons.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to try that. I'll get back to you.
Yes,
Very,
right.
very, very important. Urgent.
Right, okay.
And you not like quite a well-filled mince pie?
Yes, I'm a bit generous, but I think you need a balance between the two. So I would say about three quarters of the way up the little bun tin, and then there is a bit of room if you want to put a dollop of marzipan or cream cheese in it. You can, or if you want to do my I haven't talked about them yet. My pistachio frangipan ones. You've got
Yeah.
room for the frangipan and the mixture of the mince and the marmalade, but I'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, that's great. And then the other thing that we were talking about is whether either of us have made our own mincemeat, but neither of us do. We just kind of tart up for separate.
I buy really either good luxury mincemeat or even ordinary mincemeat, and then you can add lots of things to it, can't you? And it's not half as much work as making your own mincemeat, but if you
Yeah.
just add bits of apple or pistachios, cranberries, I don't know, almonds, apricots. I just jazz mine up,
Yeah.
and it's quite easy, really, I think. Oh, raspberry cherry.
I like adding a bit of zest.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Sorry.
But
Yes. A
yeah,
lemon
but
zest or orange zest. That's something. And also booze, of course.
Yes, yeah.
You can add like what brandy, rum, or
Cointreau, yeah.
Cointreau. Yes. Lovely. Delicious. Yes. So
So we
that's
would
why I
suggest
probably wouldn't make it.
just tarting it up a bit. And I agree, especially since it's kind of a rigmarole buying loads and loads of different ingredients and then sterilizing jars and then letting it mature. I just,
Yeah,
no, it's not.
it's quite an expensive thing, I think, to do that. It's
Yeah.
just, it's actually last Christmas, or last January, they were selling them off, the jars of mincemeat, they were selling them off for 10p
Oh, really?
in one of the supermarkets, because it was after Christmas. And I think I bought about 8 jars.
But they
So that
last
was quite,
ages.
so that was very good. Rather than buying all your own stuff to make your own mincemeat, it was really cheap to do that.
I've had a jar from last year that I'm going to use
Yeah,
this weekend. So.
I think it doesn't go off. It seems to may improve it really.
Yeah.
So that's a
I'm
good
going to do
idea.
that this year because I went. I've had to
Don't
buy. I
waste
had to
it.
buy some not as good stuff because I couldn't find any in my
No.
local shop. So. Anyway, that's the struggle of living where I do is
Yeah.
it's like a normal working class area, so there's no Waitrose,
I've used up my mincemeat this year, and I must go and buy some. So, all this talk of mince pies, I've got to crack on and get them done,
unfortunately.
which will be nice.
And then the last thing we were going to talk about before we talk about recipes is about kind of tips. And I think both of our tips are really kind of about pastry, weren't they?
Yes, the top tips really is first of all, first of all, I have a marble rolling pin, which is cold, and try and have cold hands. And because the more you work the pastry, the tougher it gets. If you're using cutters, and then you've got all these bits left over, and you get them in your hands and keep overworking them, it just gets tough and rather nasty. So I try very hard not to overwork the pastry. And other tips are like dusting them with icing sugar when they're just coming out of the oven, and adding, I think we've discussed adding splash of booze and marzipan and cream cheese and stuff like that, and cinnamon in the pastry. But I think the top tips, oh, probably cold butter as well, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
always
you can either,
the pastry.
Either grate or, yeah, or cut up into cubes or something. So I think that's they are my tips, really.
Yeah, I agree. And keeping a pastry cold, sometimes...
Yeah. Oh, and then putting it in the fridge for half an hour or so, of course, when you've done it.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I even if after I've rolled it out, I'll put it back sometimes.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea, Kate.
But that's only if I've really got time.
Yeah, or I've got room in the fridge.
Yeah, indeed. and then I think the only other thing I'd say is that it is a bit annoying if it's only one or two of you, but they're just so much better, like, warmed up again in the oven. You just can't really replicate that in a microwave. The pastry gets all greasy and soggy.
Oh, no, not a microwave.
So it's just not really, unfortunately. I have tried.
Yes.
I have tried, and I'm here to say that it's not very good.
No, the middle of the mince pie gets incredibly burny hot.
Yeah.
In a microwave.
Yeah, and you get, burning, like, roof of your mouth burning mince, and then you've got sort of
soggy
pastry.
It's not
good.
No, I would turn the oven on, even if it's more expensive. Definitely.
So the final thing that we're going to talk about is your favourite recipes.
Yep.
Do you want to start us off with the orange pastry one?
Yes, I think, one of my favourites. I've been doing this one, actually. I mean, Jocelyn Dimbleby, my goodness, she wrote this in about 1970 or something, so I must have been making these mince pies for 40 or 50 years, and they're still just as good, you know, now. So I used 4 ounces of 400 grams of plain flour and 200 grams of butter and 100 grams of lard and a grated rind of a large orange and then orange juice, and then roll out the pastry and fill it about 3/4 full. And these are the mince pies where I put cream cheese quite often into the top before I put the top of the pastry on. And also you can have a bit of marzipan or you can put a bit of lemon zest. So that's they're one of our favourites in the family. The other one is the rich flan pastry with the pistachio frangipane on top, and that's first of all, you get a 225 gram of orange marmalade, clementine marmalade, homemade marmalade, but it's better to have orange, I think, marmalade, rather than grapefruit or lime or something. And you mix a whole jar with 340 grams of mincemeat. And then the pastry, I use rich flan pastry, which is 350 grams of flan. This, by the way, makes 36 mince pies. So it's 350 grams of flour, 125 of caster sugar, tiny bit of salt, 125 of cold butter and 2 medium eggs, and that's the pastry. And then once you've rolled out, cut out the pastry and filled it with the mincemeat and marmalade all mixed up, you sort of fill it, I don't know, 3/4 of the way up, I suppose, and then you add this lovely pistachio frangipane, which is 100 grams of pistachios, which are shelled pistachios, I mean, plus some extra to sprinkle on the top. And you grind them up, and then there's 200 grams of butter, 200 grams of caster sugar, 100 grams of ground almonds, 50 grams of plain flour, 2 large eggs, and 2 tablespoons of Cointreau. And you mix all that up into a frangipane and put that on the top of the mince pies. And you can... I suppose you could put a few almonds, flaked almonds, but I generally put pistachios, and then put them in the oven, and they're delicious.
Yeah, I can attest to both of these. I've tried them both.
Yes. Right. Oh, well, that's good. That's good, Kate.
And I've made them both as well.
That's good. Yeah. I really like that one, actually. I've only been doing that about 4 or 5 years, I suppose, when I first came across the recipe, and I think I tweaked it a bit, but anyway, that's my 2 favourite ones.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you so much for speaking to me.
it's a pleasure, Kate, as always.
I'm sure that this is going to inspire people to try some different types of mince pies out.
But yes, don't not try, just buy them.
But don't try mince pie brownies because it sounds disgusting. Sorry. It sounds rank.
Yes. Oh, don't. No, I'm not going to do that.
But do you know what I do think would be good, actually, is I saw that there was a bit of it was very controversial, but Liam Charles, who was on Bake Off and he's kind of does TV presenting and stuff now, he suggested making mince pie donuts, which I actually do think sounds quite nice.
Yes, I love donuts.
Oh. Yeah.
What do? You push the mince pie, the mince meat in when the donuts are cooked?
No.
No.
I don't know, actually.
And then, oh, perhaps you put the mince meat in the middle and then fry them.
I'm not sure, but that's something I don't know. I'd have to look it up. But I quite like the sound of that. What I don't like about the sound of the brownie one is that the brownies are so rich, mince meat
is
so rich.
Exactly.
I just sort of think they'd be fighting with each other, really.
They would be. They really would be. I think it's a horrible idea. I'd rather have my chocolate brownies as chocolate brownies.
Yeah,
than you.
I feel the same way. But
thank you
so much for talking to me. And
okay,
I can't wait to go and I've started my orange pastry. It's chilling.
Oh,
so I'm going to go and make some mince pies now.
Yes, well, I'm going to do mine tomorrow because I need some more mince meat. Okay, thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Okay, so like Auntie Christine said, there are two recipes that she and I would both recommend. So first of all, Jocelyn Dimbleby's mince pies with orange pastry. This recipe is available on the Telegraph website, but there are also various blogs with it. So I'm going to link to the Telegraph website because that's the one that I know for sure is correct. But you can find this through other sources. If you don't want to either register or subscribe to the Telegraph. So she uses 200 grams of butter, 100 grams of lard, 400 grams of plain flour, the grated rind and juice of one large orange. And obviously, if you are vegetarian, you could use butter instead. If you're vegan, I would actually probably suggest finding a different recipe, to be honest. But you could try and make it with vegan baking block. You also need about, I would say, a jar of mincemeat. She says 400 to 500 grams. I found that my jar was good. I think it's about 400 grams, my jar. And then there's a couple of different options, actually. So the one on the Telegraph website suggests using fresh cranberries, which we really liked, actually, in our household. But there are other variations of it where you add a sort of teaspoon or so of cream cheese, or I prefer mascarpone, actually, on top. Then you need a little bit of milk or egg yolk to egg wash them at the end. And then icing sugar, if you like, for dusting. So very, very simply, you rub the flour and fat together. And then stir in the rind. Obviously you want cold butter, cold cubed butter. You could use your fingertips, you could use a pastry blender, which is what I use actually. You could use a food processor, whatever you prefer. Then you stir in the rind, and then you bring the pastries together with the juice of the orange. You may need a little bit more, you may need a bit, little bit less, so see how you go on that front. But yeah, don't overdo it. But also, you may need a little bit more. I actually found out I needed an orange and a half for some reason. I don't know if my kitchen was particularly dry or something. Anyway, you then refrigerate that for 30 minutes. And after that, you roll out the pastry. You cut out 24 rounds. It could be more. So I used a sort of bun tin, which is like a standard size thing here. But they are really quite shallow. So I have asked Santa for a deep bun tin, and I'll see if I get one. Anyway, you cut out your rounds, you half fill them. You either then top with a cranberry or two in each, depending on the size of your cranberries and the size of your pies. Or you could do a little dollop of mascarpone or cream cheese. Then you cut out some stars for the top, or you could do another round of pastry, depending on what you prefer. Stick those on with wet hands. Brush with cold milk or egg yolk, and then bake in quite a high oven. She suggests gas 7 or 220 C. I did a little bit lower than that for 15 minutes. Okay, so just to let you know the equivalent for those temperatures. So for the Jocelyn Dimble to be mince pies with orange pastry, 220 C, 200 fan, gas 7 or 400 degrees Fahrenheit roughly. But like I say, I think I did mine actually a little bit lower, but I did mine for the full 20 minutes. So, judge it based on how your oven behaves and what your pastry's looking like. You do want it fairly high, and you are looking obviously for golden brown pastry. Okay, so I'm going to move on now to the delicious magazine Clementine and Pistachio Mince Pies. So I think that Auntie Christine maybe adds actually a little bit more marmalade here. What they suggest is 225 grams of Clementine marmalade. This is quite hard to find, so I found a Bon Maman mandarin one. But yeah, just whatever you can get your hands on. I think orange is also absolutely fine, but you don't want anything that's too different. Like, as Chris said, you don't really want lime or grapefruit because that's quite a different taste. Then about a jar of mincemeat, okay, about 340 grams, and or just a bit less than a jar. Then so you mix those together. And you then make your pastry. So they've suggested 350 grams of plain flour, 125 grams of caster sugar, 125 grams of cold butter, two medium eggs, and an extra yolk. So this, what slightly annoys me about this recipe is that they've got two medium eggs in this, and then they've got two large eggs in the frangipan. But I reckon you could definitely get away with just using medium in the frangipan. It's more important in the pastry to be more precise, I would say. So if you've just got a box of medium eggs, I would say that's better. I think experimenting on the pastry is a little bit riskier, although it'd probably be fine, to be honest, for that amount of flour. I've not made these since last year, I must admit. But I have made these before, and it is a good recipe. So you again, use the rubbing in method, and then you add the egg to bind it together. And you obviously need to add the sugar before the egg as well. You chill that for 30 minutes as usual, and then while that's chilling, you can get on with making the frangipan. So this is 100 grams of pistachios plus some extra. 100 grams of ground almonds. Now, this is my little top tip actually. You could replace those with more pistachios to get a stronger pistachio flavour. And also, I would always, always, always pre-roast my nuts. So I would actually do that here too. I'd pre-roast the nuts, and then you'll get more pistachio flavour. So I would personally pre-roast them and have 200 grams of pistachios and not have any ground almonds. I think it's just to make it slightly more affordable. So up to you. Depends how much money you're willing to spend on mince pies, I guess. You want 200 grams of butter, 200 grams of caster sugar, 50 grams of plain flour. They then suggest two large free-range eggs, but I think you could get away with medium. And then 2 tablespoons of orange liqueur of some kind, Grand Marnier, whatever you've got around, Cointreau, so or something similar. Use your judgment as to what alcohol you think would go here. Brandy is probably fine as well. That would probably be quite nice actually. So in order to make the frangipane, you grind the nuts. You then kind of add in the butter, caster sugar, You kind of beat it all together. You could just use your food processor. If you need to grind the nuts anyway, you could also alternatively you could just grind the nuts in it and then you could beat it all together with a wooden spoon very vigorously, or you could use electric beaters or a stand mixer. But it's not that much mixture, so I don't think I would necessarily get a stand mixer out for this. Okay, so once your pastry is chilled, you roll it out. Then you stamp out rounds. This makes about 36, by the way. So, obviously, if you want to halve it, then do. If you want to halve the recipe to make 18. I found that it might have even made slightly more for me, actually. You then press the rounds into the tin, which has been buttered, obviously. Then you put in the mincemeat mixture and then the pistachio frangipane on top, and then sprinkle with chopped pistachios. Then you bake for about 25 minutes in a moderate to high oven. So I think they say sort of like 190 or 200, something like that, which would be about gas 5 or 6, and it would be something like 170 or 180 fan. And what would that be in Fahrenheit? Maybe 375 to 400, something like that. Maybe, no, more like 375. So again, you want a fairly hot oven. I think that's the best way to get crisp pastry, especially because they're quite small. You don't have to worry about evenness of the bake as much as you would with a big pie. Yeah, so 20 to 25 minutes, I would say. I think I would do 20, but a fairly hot oven for me. Yeah, that's it really. I hope you try these recipes. I will link to them on our website. Happy baking. Thank you so much for joining me today, and take care. Bye. Flour, butter, eggs, sugar is made and produced and written by Kate in a rather amateurish fashion in my small London kitchen. Thank you very, very much to Auntie Christine for appearing on this week's episode. And just to remind you that my website is flourbuttereggssugar.wordpress.com. So do go there for recipes. And also, we have a Facebook listeners group. So if you search flour, comma, butter, comma, eggs, comma, sugar podcast listeners, you should be able to find us. And my email is flourbuttereggssugar@gmail.com. So if you've got any feedback or anything that you want me to include in future episodes, do let me know. And I haven't yet decided what to do for next week's episode. If you've got any ideas, let me know. I'm thinking about making biscotti. So if you've got any suggestions, do let me know. Once again, happy baking. Take care and goodbye.